So this morning, we're going to turn to, let me find it, Psalm 62, if you want to open up in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 12. Dependence and interdependence are what we're talking about today. And just in case, my friend couldn't be here today who got my phone that had my sermon on it, so I do have backup today in case the iPad goes wonky. Somebody has to run outside. I didn't have him today to run outside. So, and you know, Sandy gets crabby when you make her get up out of church. So, I love seeing you here every time, Sandy, because it just allows me to just break the tension and make fun of you. So, I don't know if that's a holy thing, but it's a fun thing. Yes, and I'm sad Ray's not here today, but it's awkward when you're quoting Ray to Ray. And I've got another, like, there's so much that I think he's blessed the Christian community with. I've got another thing in here today. So it's like, you don't, like, I know he doesn't want to be a big deal. So I've got more Ray stuff today, so that's okay. So dependence and interdependence. Let's read the scripture, and then we'll see where God wants to take us this morning. It says this, Psalm 62, 5 through 12. I depend on God alone. I put my hope in Him. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. My salvation and honor depend on God. He is my strong protector. He is my shelter. Trust in God at all times, my people. Tell Him all your troubles, for He is our refuge. Human beings are all like a puff of breath. I can imagine just kind of like, just a little bit of puff of breath. Great and small alike are worthless. Put them on the scales and they will weigh nothing. They are lighter than a mere breath. Don't put your trust in violence. Don't hope to gain anything by robbery, even if your riches increase. Don't depend on them. More than once I have heard God say that power belongs to Him and His love is constant. You yourself, O Lord, reward everyone according to their deeds. This is the word of the Lord and we are thankful for it. Amen. It's been a rough week. I didn't know if I was going to share this or not, but I've been in a process for 7 months at a church up on the north side. It's the only church that I had left in any kind of contention for what is next for our life. It's been 20 months since I left Overijssel Reformed Church. I've been waiting on the Lord. They said no. They said, if you were in contention, if we were looking for a youth pastor, you'd be our guy. 11 churches in the area over the last 20 months have said they don't see me in that role as youth pastor. So I'm wondering if I've aged out of youth ministry. Now I have a church telling me, oh, we don't see you as pastor. So it's been a hard week. So these verses make sense. And I would imagine for many of us, it's been a hard week, or there's been hard weeks in the past, or there's hard weeks coming up. I don't say that my situation is any more special, but I say that our dependence and interdependence are critical in our walk with Jesus, in our walk to be faithful followers. And I thought about this sermon when I wrote it years ago, and you guys know that pastors recycle sermons when they come and do pulpit display, right? You get that. But we redo them, too, just to make sure that we are being honorable to the Word of God. But I think I wrote this sermon right after 4th of July, several years back, when I love 4th of July. I'm a very patriotic person. I love the idea that we can honor God in this country. I mean, look at my laptop cover. I like being an American. I think it's a good place. I think God has set aside America, not for the end-all, be-all of all world cultures ever, but I think God has blessed America, and now we wonder, right? But in America, values that we have, if we really look at them, clash with biblical values in certain areas. Like, in America, you know, when we learned our American history, we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, cowboy. You know, we think John Wayne, we think the American westward movement, we think about fighting to free ourselves from British tyranny and all these things. And in American culture, those aren't all bad. They're not all good all the time, but they're not all bad. But they go against the scripture that teaches us dependence and interdependence. We need him and we need each other. So that's what we're talking about today. And I think if we are honest with ourselves, we have a good bit of dependence on ourselves instead of God. We have this independent streak. I know I'm a horrible delegator. I know that I'm a person that just like, I got this, right? I don't like to delegate. I do things on my own. I don't always listen to or understand the complete and total wisdom of my wife. Shocking. I don't like being told what to do. Depending on somebody else kind of makes me a little nervous because are they going to do it the way I wanted to? Are they going to do it the way I hoped it would be? What's going to happen? I'm bad at asking for advice. And not just on the little things, but on the big things. I have always believed that you should fend for yourself, right? Take matters into your own hands. Now that I'm working 2 to 3 jobs, and that's a little more difficult. Back in the day when I said, you know what? We'd never be homeless. We'd never, have a real trouble. I could always go work 2 or 3 jobs and make sure it happens. Well, I'm in the middle of doing that. It's not all roses. It's not all cheery. It's not all easy. And if it wasn't for the gracious love of my in-laws, which is hard to accept sometimes, not because they're my in-laws, but just it's the grace of somebody else, we're not making any house payments right now because they bought our house for us years ago. We've been paying them back, and now if we had to make a house payment right now, we might be in that situation. So life is difficult. It gets messy, and all of a sudden, things shift, and God gave me a new perspective. God gave me a new paradigm. These are all signs of independence, but Scripture doesn't teach independence. It's not what it talks about. In that verse that I read, human beings are all like a puff of breath. We're here, great and small alike are worthless. Put them on the scales, they weigh nothing. They are lighter than a mere breath. There's other, we're here today and gone tomorrow. So this self-importance that we have doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from our relationship with him. It doesn't mean we're, it says here we're utterly worthless. But it doesn't mean we don't have value. We're image bearers of God. It doesn't mean we don't have purpose. We are the people that are sent out and called to be Christ in this world. But it does mean, do I have the proper perspective of who I am and the relationships that I have? If you've had little ones, I don't know about if you had this experience, but for us, one of our girls, we have 2 girls, 14 and 11, both of our girls loved this phrase. Maybe you heard it. Maybe you heard it in different ways. But I do it. Ever remember I do it? You giggled. Were you that kid? Yeah, over there that saying I do it to whoever's in the nursery. Me do it. Yep. I think that's how God views us probably, right? I do it. That put my foot down, here I stand, this is what I'm going to do. Stubbornness, brazenness, I do it. That's our life. That's how God views us. But there is a better way, but we have to recognize that in ourselves. And if we turn to Scripture, think about all the I do it's in Scripture. They didn't say it that way, but Adam and Eve. I do it. That was the first lie. It was like, did God really tell you not to eat? Did God really tell you his way is better? Sin enters the world. Tower of Babel. We build this tower. We can be like God. We will build it. We will go to the heavens. We will set ourselves up like God. We do it. God confuses the languages and scatters people all over the earth. Now we have different ethnic groups. We have different peoples that battle and fight for each other. Moses sitting or striking the rock. God tells Moses, say these things. Moses walks up. Dude, it's been a long day. I am tired. Whack! Water comes out. You do it. Now you can do it in the wilderness for 40 years. Have fun. Time and time again. Samson and Delilah. I'm going to just mess with her. I got this. Like, eventually gets his hair cut. You're like, dude, why are you even hanging around with her? She's bad news. I do it. I do it my way. Joseph thought he was a pretty big deal, right? You know, you've got all these brothers. You've got 11 brothers. And you know dad likes you the best. Is it really a good idea to rub their noses in that? You know, if you've ever seen Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and you've got Donny Osmond playing, and he's got the coat, and he's walking around his brothers, yeah, look at me, woo! What do you think's going to happen? Maybe he didn't think slavery, but it wasn't going to end well. I do it. I show how good I am. You know, David and Bathsheba. David, the rules don't apply. I'm the king. It is good to be the king. Oops. But yet, the hope of David and the hope of us is he was still a man of God's heart at the end of the day. So how do we get there? How do we be the man after God's own heart? And it's dependence and interdependence. Brings us to a new place in life with God. Let me read this from Mark 12. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this." So where is he going to go? This is the Ray part right here. He's going to go back to the Shema. The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. Now this is a different translation. The Lord our God is our one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's all that we are. Nothing is outside of that realm. So with all that we are, we love the Lord our God. Second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No commandment is greater than these. Pretty simple. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple, but yet it takes a lifetime, right? We're still learning that. We're still dealing with that. We're still trying to figure out that. We still have good days with that, and we still have bad days with that. That's why not only do we need the dependence here, because God in His Word shows us how to live, but we need this level of interdependence too, because when I'm having a bad day, oh, guess what? You're supporting and encouraging and loving me. When you're having the bad day, the congregation flocks to you and says, we love you, we care about you, how do we support you in what's going on in your life? It's the whole thing of I do it myself gets us, blocks us from living the life God wants us to live. Now, that's not prosperity gospel. That's not name and claim it. That's not, woo, look at all the things I have. The life God wants for us is a life of service. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of stepping into whatever His plan for us is. But we need God to show us what that is. We need Jesus Christ to allow us to do that because He paid for our sins. He allows us to live for Him. We need the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be the one going, psst, hey, Ty, dude, you're way off base today, come on. And we need each other to be able to do that same kind of stuff, not always in the way of the Holy Spirit because we aren't perfect, but God chose us. That's why I love the covenant. God chose us to be in each other's lives. It is intentional that we are together. It's an intentional that those children in the back were born to this family because God wanted them raised in that family. God wanted the people that are here today to be here today to hear His word. God's sovereignty says, look, I want to use you. I want to place you where you want or where I want. And that's an important and beautiful thing. But these things take a lifetime to work through. But we get to do this in this community. We get to do this with the people that we're sitting next to in this pew. And my prayer for this church is this church will continue to get to do that for a long time. You're not here by mistake. You're dependent on God for the flourishing of this church, and you're interdependent on each other for making that mission continue to happen until there's not even one person left in here. But if there's one person left in this church, that is still the will of God for this church, to be the visible representation of Jesus Christ on this corner, in this parish, in this place. But that, again, that takes God and it takes each other to continue to do that. I think one of the problems we have in our faith and in this world is knowing our place. Again, the psalm talks about the worthlessness of humanity. And sometimes we believe that for the exact word that it means. Worthlessness. Like dirt on the ground. That's not good dirt that you would find over there where the corn and the soybeans are going in. It's the gravelly garbage on the side of the road. We think of ourselves as worthless. And God's just trying to point out to us that apart from Him, we can do no good. That depravity, that original sin, the brokenness that comes from that sets us apart from doing anything good to reach God. So it's all God having to do this. It's all God coming to us. It's all God showing us what we need and can be. But we forget our place. And in history, just a little side note, you know, in the history of this country and probably throughout the world, you know, we've heard the term, they don't know their place, right? And it's an ugly phrase. You know, I heard my grandparents talk about it with people of color. They don't know their place. We think it, or maybe we say it, when it's people that are different than us, whether it's race, ethnicity, culture, economics. Well, we're here on the scale there. Anytime there's this, there's a, whether we believe it, say it, or think it, there's this, we don't know, they don't know their place. They shouldn't be where we are. We don't know our place when it comes to God. We think of ourselves too highly. It doesn't mean we don't have a role. It doesn't mean we are worthless, but it doesn't always point us to the fact that are we willing to, that was hard work, wait till you see me get up again. Are we willing to take a knee? Do I know my place when it comes to God? And am I thankful for His connection in my life to point out His love and grace even though I am in that place? You know, when David's wife, Michal, looked at him dancing around, Scripture says naked, whether he was in a loincloth or completely the way God created him, you know, she looked at him with disgust. You know, am I willing to make a fool of myself, within reason maybe, maybe not, and know my place with God? Am I willing to lay myself face down in the dust and say, Lord, thank you that you are God and I am not. Thank you for who you created me to be and what that means. Am I willing to take a knee and say, Lord, whatever you want, however you want it to happen, in whatever place you want it to happen, am I willing to be that for God? What am I willing to lay down? What do I have to lay down? Is it pride? Arrogance? Self-sufficiency? Vanity? Anger? Bitterness? Jealousy? Gossip? I think I've talked to you guys about this. I talked to the church that I interviewed at that just, I wish we had that display on us that just said, here's my garbage, and it just scrolls completely. Because it wouldn't just be me, right? It'd be all of us. It's like, oh, we're all broken. We're all, oh, you've got that too. I can be petty like that too. Awesome. Not good that we can be that kind of petty, but like, hey, all right, us petty people, we're going to get together and we're going to work on our pettiness. And the vain people get together and work on their vanity. And the merciless people work on their mercilessness. Kids, it's Mother's Day. But she is not always right. But are we going to get together and work on all this stuff? That's this interdependence, right? Church should be the messiest of places. Anybody that walks through that door should be able to be greeted with love. Because none of us deserve it, right? Did we deserve waking up this morning? No. But God blessed us with that. Does this row of pettiness deserve to come in through that back door? No, but God says, come on, come on. I wish, you're going to have to look at me now, I wish churches would have more of a belief. Now, I'm a conservative guy. The whole thing's with sexuality right now and all of that stuff. It's not God's plan, right? There's a plan God has. But I wish anybody that walks through the doors, however you're broken, we're going to go up to the cross that you can't see behind the screen right now. And there's a wagon right here. You know, we're going to go grab one of my friends, Grady Quaker, grew up on a farm just up the road, and he's got some old hay wagons. We're all going to get on the wagon, and like kind of the parade that'll be here in a few weeks from more. Oh, boop, somebody falls off. Drunkenness. All right, we all reach over the side and pull each other back up. Come on, alcoholic. Boop. Oh, pornography, somebody with lust. Pull them back on. Sexual sin. Heterosexual, homosexual. Nope, that's not God's plan. Come on. But we're all going to Jesus. And at some point, the problem winds up being, you don't get to say when you get to stop, right? No, I don't get to say. Let's say homosexuality was my sin and my issue, same-sex attraction. Okay, that's not in God's plan. But is, as a heterosexual man, is heterosexual lust part of God's plan for me either? Absolutely not. So the problem is, we got to get on this bandwagon together and move to Jesus and let Jesus fix what's in us. And whatever the sin is, we're not condoning the sin. We're not saying, no big deal, come on back. We're pulling people back onto the wagon and say, this is the hope. Our interdependence is the hope that Jesus will take who our life is on the wagon and keep moving it closer to Jesus so that we don't say, would God say to any of us, ew, your sin's too icky, get out? No. Now, God doesn't leave us there. God doesn't say, all right, your sin, whatever, you four have your sin. I know you guys can handle it. So whatever your sin is, God doesn't say, awesome as it is. You know, next week, we're moving here. Or we might move back two rows. You know, like, it's this. But whatever the sin is, God's not saying, you're out. If he saved you, he saved you to a purpose. He saved you to be more like him. So whatever that sin is, if we're going to walk towards Jesus, God is going to work on that in our lives. Whatever that brokenness is, God will work on that in our lives. And he chooses his people to be a part of that plan. So in your broken sexuality, let's work together and walk toward the plan. In your brokenness because of the fall, whatever it may be, let's walk towards Jesus. That's interdependence. That's God's plan. And some of it, yeah. I can't imagine some of the depths of despair of the brokenness of people that have different brokenness than me. But my guess is they might be looking at me and going, I can't imagine the depths of despair and the brokenness that I have. So it's let's move to Jesus together, dependently, not just on each other, which is a beautiful thing, but at some point, it's on the Word of God, because this is where the truth lies. This is where the answers are. You know, we can become, I don't think we can become too dependent on God. But if this starts to kind of fade away, we become too interdependent, and then it's like, well, is it the wisdom of each other? Or is it the wisdom of God? Dependence and interdependence. And if you look in Scripture, I'm not going to read them all, but God shows us that this interdependence is important. Honor one another, Romans 12. Live in harmony with one another, Romans 12. Accept one another, Romans 15. Instruct one another, Romans 15. Agree with one another, 1 Corinthians 1. Serve one another, Galatians 5. Bear with one another, Ephesians 4. Submit to one another, Ephesians 5. Forgive one another, Colossians 3. Here's a big one that we don't like anymore, but admonish, correct, instruct one another, Colossians 3. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians. Offer hospitality to one another, 1 Peter 4. Be humble to one another, 1 Peter 5. Fellowship with one another, 1 John 1. Love one another, 2 John 5, and on and on and on and on and on. The point is that the more we are connected with God, the more we become like Him through Jesus Christ. What we saw in Christ is the exact representation of God. The more we're like that, the more we can point a broken, dying world to God. We have something that the world doesn't have. And I'm looking at them. This is a unique place in God's kingdom. Overijssel CRC is a unique place in God's kingdom. Overijssel Reformed is. Haven, Hamilton. These are unique places in God's kingdom. It says, I want people there to be connected to me so they can be connected to the other, to be a unique place where somebody who walks through the back door can see the gospel, live the gospel, feel the gospel, and know that there is hope in this world. That is a beautiful thing. That is the point. So are we aligning ourselves with God? Are we making sure that we are working on this relationship and this relationship? Are we in the Word? Personally? Regularly? Are we praying? Praying doesn't have to be every knee bowed, every eye closed. There's a time and place for that. There's a time and place when I'm laying on my lazy boy this week crying, going, I don't know what's next, God. A little help? There's a time and place for laying next to my daughters in bed before they go to bed, or your grandchildren, or your spouse, or yourself, and saying, Lord, here I am, help. Here I am, thank you. Here I am, here's what others need. Are we being connected to church? Are we serving this church? How do you love and care? Meals, sound, audio, singing, all the different ways to connect and love this church, and on and on and on. Are we serving? This church isn't too small yet to serve Hamilton. And I think you do. I hope you do. And if you don't, shame on you. Because you still have, as long as we have breath in our lungs, we have the ability to serve God's kingdom right now. Here. I'm going to end with an illustration that I always kind of liked in youth ministry. Maybe this didn't happen, but the Bible scholar is not here to tell me I'm wrong this morning, so that's okay. But here's what I imagine kind of happening when it comes to Satan. Because his sin, I think, is what I'm talking about today. At some point, you have God in His glory, in His majesty, in His absolute perfection. And I imagine He's on His throne and He's in His place of glory. And it's just unbelievable. You know, we hear about God having, Adam, turn around. You couldn't handle my glory. So you have God in His place of glory, in His beauty, in all that is God. And then I would imagine it talks about, you know, there's angels, but there's Christ. It talks about Satan, the devil, as another created being. At some point, I think Satan got tired of sitting in the pews and going, Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, you're amazing. Oh, I can't imagine how beautiful you are, Lord. Lord, 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 bless you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At some point, I think Satan is like that little kid in a pageant or a program that's like, you know, you got God up there, you got the whole choir singing, everything's going good up there, but they're the one that's kind of going, check me out too, right? Hi. Hi. That's Satan's sin, right? He wasn't satisfied with his place. It's like, hey, yeah, God's okay. God's a good guy. God's all right, but I'm kind of a big deal too. I'm kind of important. Like I can do stuff. I know stuff. Like Satan wasn't happy being this. He wanted to work his way up. He wanted to have a bigger voice. He wanted to have authority and dominion and power and all these things. Are we able to say with love and honesty, Lord, I depend on you. I need to depend on you. I want to depend on you. I give myself to you. And Lord, I want to make sure that I'm dependent on this body too, because I can learn something from these people and these people and those people. They can learn something from me, but all those good things come from you first and foremost, Lord. It all comes from you, God. All blessings come from above. So are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, yes? Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands, wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let us be wholeheartedly devoted to one another and altogether be devoted to God. Let's pray. Thank you for today, Lord, for reminders of your glory and of your greatness, reminders of your deep desire to love and care for us. Deep desires not only to love and care for us as we are, but to move us forward in progress to be more like you. That whatever the sin, if we recognize that dependence on you, you will walk with us. Maybe it'll be the thorn in our flesh our whole life, but give us the faith and the understanding to say, not as I want, but you want, O Lord. Take that sin within me, and maybe I will struggle it every day of my life, but it's not what I should be. It's not what you wanted me to be. It's not what you created to be, and I will fight with it with all that I have. Let us live like that, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.